Jason Navarra invites you to Get This with Tony Martin and Ed Cavalli.
With Richard Marsland on the buttons.
Yes, we're on the home stretch. Five shows to go and time for a few of our regulars to sign off. Treasurer Peter Costello is here today to tip one final bucket on K-Rudd. Ouch.
Oh, dear. New inventions of 2007 you simply must have.
Jimmy Barnes is here, the real Jimmy Barnes, to help us sift through the file marked local nutbags.
How does Richard live his life?
Will we finally learn it? Who knows? We'll flash back to our very first show. I know we'll do that. We'll find out, Ed, how you scammed your way onto a national platform.
Short bus first date triumphs.
We'll find out who's got ADD if we don't lose interest first.
All your weekend sport completely ignored.
And in the second hour, two of our favourite co-hosts, Angus Sampson and Dave Graney, are here, and that means great moments and wrong.
Stumbles out of bed and into the kitchen, pours himself a cup of ambition.
Yes, it's all coming up on Get This. How would you describe it, Rich?
An orgy of self-indulgence and as boring as watching mold grow on cheese.
There's some sizzle.
Oh, man.
Now, you can bring that cup of tea in now, sis, please. I'll have it now.
Delicious.
Oh, hello, listeners.
Hello.
Morning, everybody.
Hi, everyone.
Good evening. Depends where you are. Thank you very much. We can't go till we're beveraged up here at the Get This desk. Stranglers still concerned about the skin deep. I see. Who are we? Well, it's myself, Tony Martin.
This is dizzy stuff, folks.
Oh. There's Ed Cavalli.
All right, that's good stuff.
And, of course, pushing buttons, Richard Marsland.
For a bastard adrift in a blizzard of cocaine.
Okay. Nikki Hamilton is here. Our producer, Matt Dow, is chained to his desk somewhere in the immediate vicinity. Oh, and we're gearing up for the final week of Get This. And how have you been preparing, Richard?
Yeah, Rich, what have you been doing?
What have you been up to on the weekend? Obviously, head down in the books looking for great replays.
That's right.
And storylines to wind up so that we can put this show to bed on Friday. What were you up to last night?
A lot of people are interested in how I live my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or maybe just you two.
Mm-hmm.
Went and saw that young up-and-comer Justin Timberlake.
Justin Timberlake?
Yes.
That's your idea of preparing for our final week.
His last concert in Australia. Great fun. Good fun.
Okay. Well, what are your favourite tracks?
Well, Cry Me a River. I did my own version, which was Fry Me a Liver, which no one really enjoyed around me. But it was just teenage girls screaming, going, it's like Beatle or Red Gum Mania.
Yeah. Red Gum Mania.
And then when Justin Timberlake came out, obviously all that dispersed.
Yeah no one cares about him. Was it good though? Was it a good concert?
$150 the tickets.
One fitty.
Whoa.
And, one fitty.
It was great because there was a giant steel pole directly between our seats.
Oh, that's good.
And Justin Timberlake. Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, yeah. I felt like calling Ticketmaster. Did I give you good money? Because right now, what I'm seeing, I could go down to Shedweld and catch a bit of that. Because there's a giant steel pole. But it was good fun. Yeah. I mean, it was great. Just, the steel buttressing up the arena.
Just really
just did fantastic. Right.
Did it do a lot for you?
I didn't want to go to the toilet just in case the pole did anything that I might have missed.
Absolutely right.
But it was exciting. He was really great. Lots of dancers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, No. Don't say you like the dancers now. How did you describe them in the office this morning?
I can guarantee you that you would have liked the dancers.
Oh, why?
Well, you know what I'm saying.
No, I
were
don't.
Were they buttressed up the arena? And is that possibly why?
No, you described them as ball bearings in a blender this morning.
Yes, well, when they began, they were just freestyling and doing some, is it crunk?
Which
is
you hate. You hate freestyle. You like ordered, mannered dancing. Everyone doing the same thing at once, don't you?
I wouldn't mind some Busby Berkeley. I wouldn't mind
like
some choreography.
You like a Charleston.
Charleston, if you could, Mr. Timberlake.
Yeah. And then the chameleon.
The kids love the Charleston.
And there was a guy a few rows ahead of us who was pretty JT'd up. He was wearing a white singlet and one of those like those.
Why?
Hats.
I hate it when people dress up as the band to go to a concert.
Yeah.
I hate that. I saw Motley Crue. I had the displeasure of seeing Motley Crue. And the amount of people that went dressed as Motley Crue.
Yeah.
You're not in the band.
And you don't wear the band t-shirt to the concert
No. You wear an older band which is cooler than that band.
Yeah. I've seen photos of you at Devo, Richard Marsland. We don't have time for that. Ed, we're going to get to you in a moment, but here's what I got to up. Forgot how to speak English, obviously, right, over the weekend. Peter Costello, I mean, hasn't he been a big part of our show for the last 2 years?
Wonderful contributor, always gives his time.
Yeah, and a lot of theories too.
Amazing theories.
Let's hear one final spray from Peter Costello.
Mr. Costello, The latest poll.
Polls.
Yes, the latest poll suggests that you may be out of a job after Saturday. You preparing for defeat?
The only thing I'm preparing for, Kerry, is, the fundamentals of solid economic policy. The gears turning, as they've been doing for the last 11 years with me, Peter Costello, at the helm. And I'm preparing for, I'm hoping that people will recognise that the best team, the only team who knows what they're doing, is in charge. I mean, you're not going to let a bunch of kids in here like Wayne Swan.
Yeah, the voters will.
Well, the voters can, recognise surely that you've got a kid there who can't even turn on his own calculator, who's being dropped off at Parliament by his mum every morning.
Really?
He's pooing his pants.
Well, hang on.
No, he does. He poos.
Sorry, how did we get here?
I mean, what are we supposed to do, Kerry? We'll put pegs on our noses and let Wayne Swan, poopy pants, get in there and start twiddling with the knobs of common sense that I've carefully set over 11 years of solid economic fundamental leadership.
What about Kevin Rudd?
Kevin Rudd, oh yeah. Let's let Norman Bates hand you the keys to your hotel room. Pop in there. Yeah, just, you might want to have a shower. I'll be in a moment.
Mother? What is that, Mother?
Okay.
Destroy the economy, Mother.
Right, none of this makes any sense. Look,
Kerry, here's what makes sense to me. A $10 billion deficit. A $94 billion debt.
Sorry?
That's what I inherited 11 years ago from Paul King.
Yes.
And I've been cleaning up that mess for 11 years, and look where it's gone.
Right. Okay, but didn't Bob Hawke say the same thing when he took office? He inherited John Howard, was the Treasurer.
John Howard was simply cleaning up the mess of the Whitlam years when Labor was out of control because of inexperience.
But weren't the Whitlam years a response to the previous governments of, going right back to Sir Robert Menzies?
What was Sir Robert doing at the end of, the war when you had Chifley and Curtin and that lot running rampant?
Yes.
I mean, we're still paying off the debt.
Well,
Chifley's debt.
Yes, but didn't Curtin have to deal with what he'd inherited from, indeed, Sir Robert Menzies and the United Australia?
Yeah, but Sir Robert was simply cleaning up Scullin's mess. 1929 to 1932, the Great Depression. There's coincidence. There's Labor in charge of the Depression.
Yes, but...
do you want that on Saturday?
But surely the Labor governments between the wars were simply cleaning up the mess they'd inherited from...
From the Commonwealth Liberals. That wasn't us. That's a previous Mob Deacon.
Yes, but... But the Protectionist Party...
Look, if you want to go back that far, Kerry, what about Chris Watson and the Labor Party of 1904? What a crazy time that was. Do we want the Watson government back on Saturday? Those mad times? Overspending on drays? We'll all be getting around in rope belts. Is that what you want? Yeah, take the plasma back. I'll just get on the back of this horse and cart and pop down to Sovereign Hill. Do we want to go back to that? Because that's what the Labor Party gave us under Watson in 04.
Yes, but Watson came after Deakin and Barton.
Yeah, but Barton was...
Yes.
He was... look what he had to work with after that bloody Aboriginal lot. Look what they left him. Nothing. How could you create something out of that? They knew nothing of the economic fundamentals. And we're still paying that off. I'm still paying off the Aboriginal mess. And you know what, Kerry? They've never once said sorry.
Mr. Costello, thanks for your time.
Keep that in mind on Saturday, Kerry.
Well,
that's
the shame of Peter Costello. What about the shame of Ed Cavalier?
Yeah, finally someone standing up and saying that's the Watson's government fault.
Yeah,
I've been saying this for God knows how long.
That Watson madness will be back if we're not careful. More in a moment.
He's a lunatic.
I'll get this. Thank you, Foo Fighters. Thank you, Richard Marsden. Let's get this around the nation on Triple M. Please, have you got some fake applause queued up early, Mr. Marsden?
Yeah.
Just get some out for Justin Hamilton.
Hello,
one
sir.
One of our regular co-hosts.
Hello.
Fake applause. I'll take it.
Man, it's yours.
I'm very comfortable with
that
it, actually.
Yours.
Yeah. I'm glad to see you're wearing shorts, Ed.
And, shorts weather, bro.
And, it's... I actually had someone ask me if... because I'm wearing shorts and a T-shirt.
Yeah, you are.
And I had it kind of questioned that maybe I'm a bit too old to be wearing a T-shirt.
There is a cut-off. But you don't have that thing where... the hairs on your legs slowly just disappear one by one.
Right.
That's when it's time to give it up. If all you've got is a group of hairs hanging around your calf.
It's done. Like a mullet on your calf muscle.
Exactly right. Or with the wagons, when the Indians were attacking and they'd sort of back all the wagons up together to try and fend them off. that's when it's time to give it up. You've got a lovely covering of hair on your legs, yeah, Justin Hamilton.
And just an ever slight touch of bow as well.
It's beautiful.
Which is out of respect for Jimmy Barnes that you've got coming
out.
Oh,
sure, yeah. He's coming in. You know, I think when you look down and you're wearing shorts and you look down and you see Uncle Junior from The Sopranos.
Oh, is that when it's time to go?
That's when it's time to get the long pants on.
When's the last time you wore some shorts, Tony?
1973, I think.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I went to see Island at the Top of the World, the Embassy in Thames. I think I was wearing shorts that day. There were no photographs taken. Yeah, we can't prove it.
Fair enough.
But there is a definite cut-off age, isn't there, for men and jeans, though, isn't there?
Yeah, oh, you reckon?
Yeah. Ooh. When you get to status quo.
Yes.
When you get to Stock Aitken Waterman sort of level. Yeah. You know, 5 years too old to be wearing jeans.
I reckon Toto's tour is just going to be a denim fest.
Booked your seats yet? Justin, book your seats for Toto? Now, as I discovered, I'm in the demographic. I didn't realise it.
No, you're smack bang.
I went and saw Crowded House.
Good band.
A couple of weeks ago, and that was an interesting demographic. Mm. Now, they still appeal to quite a young crowd as well. Right. So you saw some really kind of older people there going, you know, play Message to My Girl. No, that's the wrong band. And you had some younger girls.
The youngies
there.
Play Sexy Back.
Play Sexy Back.
And what a Crowded House's troupe of dancers like these days.
Very slow.
Really?
Yeah. But, you know, they're into it.
Yeah. How are they, you know, compensating for the lack of an insane drummer? Let's be honest, you know.
Well, I think Nick Seymour's become a little bit more insane.
He's gone a bit hessy.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Carrying the torch.
Good on him.
I think he's amped it up it's with what he wears. And there was a lot of talking on stage. My girlfriend actually complained and said it was a concert that was more for like 5,000 than 12,000. I was like, oh, no, it's intimate, Kay. Everything's fine. Yeah, but there is. He's taken up the mantle, I think. But you know what it is. You're watching it and I don't want to be harsh, but I quite like it. It's older guys who are probably halfway through a midlife crisis who have gone, wait a minute, we're Crowded House. And they just the most bizarre things happen in the concert. Like at the very end in the last song, they've got a cardboard tree and a bit flips over and there's a bird tweeting. Why? I don't know. But then it's Neil Finn. He can do whatever he wants.
He's taking it up to the young people
pretty
there.
That's pretty rock and roll. I think Rammstein tried that for a while, but it was too loco for them. That's amazing.
Justin, thanks for your contributions over 2 years. Damn. You've got your own show now with Mr. Charlie Pickering and
Terry Siarkis
on Saturday morning.
6 to 8. So I gather that everyone who's listening now will not hear it.
No. We've got a really strong 6 to 8 Saturday following.
Really?
Yeah, it's quite amazing. And I wouldn't think it.
This is only in Melbourne and Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane, obviously.
No. Yes.
So there's no toast in.
No.
Oh, hang on. It's that show where Ed just eats a piece of toast for two hours.
It's a good show.
That goes out in Sydney. It's very popular.
Yeah, it's quite good.
We can't seem to move you.
No. This week, guys, it's rye. Okay? It's rye. Yeah.
Ooh, I preferred the whole grain episode.
I know,
it was
meaty.
So many levels.
I know.
Nice test as well, mate. So, Justin, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Justin. And, good to see you.
I'm glad you've drawn attention to Ed and his shorts and his ADD. Do you know about his ADD?
No.
How dare you?
Have a listen to this. One of Australia's top specialists in attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
I got that in high school.
Believes the links between doctors and drug companies could be contributing to overprescribing the drugs to treat the condition in children. So I've lost interest in this article already.
Sorry, I was playing PlayStation. What did you say?
All right. Isn't that interesting, the idea that, you know, the doctors are sort of in the pockets of the drug company?
Jeez.
I don't know if that's true. We're not compromised, said one doctor as he tumbled down the water slide at Pfizer's exclusive Ritalin Island off the Gold Coast.
I had that in high school.
Did you?
Yeah, my friend Dave, he went off and got ADD and came back and he said, look, I've got this certificate. I get half an hour extra in exams.
Oh, great.
I don't have to go to some things. I can leave class if I'm freaking out. Mm. He got the pills.
Yeah.
My friend Michael said, what happened in the test? So he went and got it and he got the extra half hour in the exam and that's what got him into university, got him special consideration.
Wow, ADD.
And I went and did the same thing. So I went and got myself some ADD in high school because my marks were good enough to get into uni.
Right.
And it got me in.
Fantastic.
It's amazing.
It's great. See, in the 70s.
It's a beep test. It's easy to rig. All you got to do is wait for the beep, just hang out for a second, and then hit the button whenever you think an ADD kid would hit the button.
These are great tips.
We never had ADD in the 70s because there weren't enough things to be distracted by. Now you've got the internet and pornography, ice, mobile phones.
We didn't have ice in my day.
Cargo pants and things in your pockets.
Who knows what exams I could have got out of if we had ice in my day?
We had Starsky and Hutch. the Pi 3-in-1 stereo and that sort of buzzy bee thing that you would put, a wooden buzzy bee. And
what's a buzzy bee?
It didn't distract you. On
what's
wheels.
A buzzy bee?
It was a bee on wheels. The wings turned. Wasn't enough to register an ADD rating. Are we running late? I think we abandoned what we were going to do.
Okay.
We've been distracted.
Yeah.
Stuff. We need some Ritalin in here.
Should play a song on the Pi 3-in-1 stereo now.
Oh, the Pi 3-in-1.
Oh, yeah.
What were the three?
It was a turntable.
Yes.
A cassette player.
And a radio in one thing, Ed.
Oh, my goodness.
What else could you need?
What are we going to do?
Someone had to sleep in the yard to fit it into the house. Oh, that was the iPod of its day.
Was there an auxiliary function, even though you didn't have anything to plug into it?
We only dreamed of an auxiliary function. One day they'll have one, we said. We won't know what it's for, but we'll have that.
Plug the bee in, see what happens.
The bee? You didn't have the buzzy bee?
Dude. I had ADD, all right? I had a Super Nintendo. I loved every second.
Okay. Oh, you know what we're going to do next, Ed? We're going to go back into your files.
Okay.
We're going to find out how you got your job.
Oh, I think it was
bribery, I think. Next, I'll get this. That's Blondie. Of course it is. Call me here. Get this around the nation on Triple M. Brought to you by the Nissan Navara.
Ooh.
Oh, what a 4x4. Has anyone got anything bad to say about the Nissan Navara? Nothing at all, apparently.
Nothing at all.
3 hours later, still nothing.
Silent.
Let's bring someone else in. Another one of our ex-co-hosts, Charlie Pickering.
Hello, Charlie Pickering.
From the host show on some Triple M's around the country.
Yes. We've got limited market representation.
Fantastic. Okay.
Yes. That's the place you want to beat now.
Anywhere we're not, we just don't like them.
Oh, really?
That's all it is.
Yeah. Tipping buckets.
Yeah. Cop that gun to guys.
Oh. They are really.
Dog on a tucker box.
Richard, whatever. You're a huge fan of Justin Timberlake. This man was here as well. Charlie was there.
Did you go to Charlie?
I witnessed the man last night. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
As the technical production is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. Yeah. I think the stage was a living being. It would actually move of its own accord at certain points.
Is it rotating?
Yeah, there was hydraulics up and down, and there were these small circular remote-controlled pontoons that would float as if under their own control, had a drummer on one, a keyboard on another. Like the band, as though they were on giant remote control cars, would move around the stage.
That is amazing.
What did you think of the giant steel pole between you and Justin Timberlake blocking your view of the
action? Well, you say that. Mm. Clearly, my connection's better than your connections.
Oh, yes. Where were you? Were you dancing on stage?
I was one of the dancers.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Cutting the rope.
I was disappointed by our wardrobe budget. But other than
that right?
Hey, do you know what? Lovely guy. Really friendly. I can't say enough good stuff about
JT.
Yeah, he's really nice. Generous.
Generous performer.
Yeah.
Generous human.
Like, you know, on the way home after the show, stopping by 7-Eleven, don't have enough of my chocolate milk, bang, on the Amex.
Bang.
Yeah, there you go.
And he's just giving you a neck rub at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. He's very touchy, though.
And what is he?
Very touchy-feely.
I thought he might, but don't get in a spa with him. That's what I've heard.
Yeah. You know, depends what you're after.
Oh, man.
Depends what you want from a spa.
We don't want any trouble. And what were you wearing? I mean, what does one wear to a Justin Timberlake?
Well, for a start, I was dressed poorly because summer happened out of nowhere.
Yeah,
for the first probably 3 weeks of summer, I've forgotten how to dress in heat and I'm pretty much just a spaz.
Yeah,
I just short anything. You know, I wear thongs on my ears. What are you doing?
It'll catch on.
But I was just completely out of touch because it was a young person's event, let's be honest about it.
What are the kids wearing?
Well, I have not seen such a broad interpretation of fashion in my life.
Okay.
Completely incongruous. No one matched.
Yeah,
there wasn't a particular thing. When I was a kid, it was acid wash. Everyone knew the rules.
Right.
And you wore it.
Yeah.
But clearly, I was saying this before, I thought young people were meant to get the same memo they all look the same.
That's right. In my day, it was spats for everybody.
Oh, how nice.
Just came along uniform. People knew what to do.
But last night,
fluorescence?
I think easy was the theme of the night.
Easy?
Yeah, not so much easy as accessible.
And a lot of filming going on in camera phones.
Yeah, heaps of that.
Too much.
Yeah. Too much. Verging on upskirting.
Absolutely.
Depending on what level the stage was at, some of it, potential upskirting.
I was back in down blouse.
Really? Oh, tough break, kid.
Well, now, Charlie, once again, we're seeing everyone off for a final time. Thanks for coming in and being part of Get This.
Thanks for being here and thanks for the podcast that kept me sane when I was overseas.
Oh, that's very nice. But I'm sure you're sitting here and going, what did those guys get up to on their very first show?
Mm.
aren't you?
That's I've been thinking that, well, pretty much every single show since.
Yeah.
Going, wait, what happened to that lightning they caught in a bottle in the first episode? Where did it go?
Well, a lot of people say to me, how did Ed Cavalier get his gig on Get This? Let's go back to our very first show, and this is a documentary, because I'd heard about Ed Cavalier. There'd been a lot of talk around the network, his work in the Black Thunders, giving stuff away. Here's a documentary that shows where it all started.
It's amazing. You go to any radio station in this country and the talk around the water cooler is Cavalier. What's he got for his next?
Down the road, the 264 Falcon XR at you. He's got unbelievable...
And you have to wonder, what's he working on?
He's an amazing performer, great energy, and just works a crowd.
I don't know where he gets it from, the patter, the gab, but he has got it.
At their roadshow every day this week.
I mean, he's the man.
Look, if I had to use one word, it'd be tour de force.
I don't know, every time I go, into an in-store or into just walking past a radio station, people are always just like, come on, do a cross, and always coming up to me, asking me for, drinks and CDs and stuff. Just do a cross, Ed, do a cross.
I've had announcers say to me that they're not going to go on after him, they can't follow it. I was at a function once and Lawsy took me aside and he just said, mate, I'm going to retire, because if you're going to put that kind of thing to air, crosses from the Black Thunder with Ed Cavalier giving away CDs, giving away prize packs, nanopods,
Street team out and about at Marine Parade, and we've got the free stuff, Heritage Chocolate.
Alan Jones said to me that he feels personally inadequate. I don't think that's anything to do with Ed Cavalier, but it might be.
It's embarrassing apart from anything else. I mean, it's my work. It's not who I am.
It's all seat-of-the-pants stuff. I mean, he hasn't got a script. It's just all coming out of his mouth. I mean, I don't know where he comes up with it. I'm amazed I haven't done a bloody record, an album of it, because it's a bit hate to think it's all just going out the bloody ether and never going to be heard again.
I see all the new guys. I hear the tapes. They come in. None of them, in my opinion, have matched Cavalier. You go to one of his crosses, it's like, bloody honey.
I love his energy for it as well, because a lot of people can be dismissive in that area, but he commits to it.
Catch us today, 12 to 1, 15 minutes time.
Look, I used to work with Brian Berry in Brisbane, and he retired because of one of Ed's crosses. I mean, I remember he just had it on. It was 25 seconds in, and he just said, that's it. And I had his resignation on my desk before Ed had even given away the Alien Ant Farm album. It was tragic. A career in tatters. Look, if he's doing a cross, they just come out of the woodwork from everywhere, swarming. I mean, they know they're going to hear something concise, and a bit of poetry in there as well. I mean, I was moved to tears once during one of his crosses from... It was an in-store by Wickfield, and I had to go and lie down in the back of the Thunder.
Well, that's really flattering, but the sad fact is that it's just not enough. I feel like I've got so much more to offer. There's a voice inside me saying,
you don't blow like the breeze you were born to be.
I mean, it's great being the best at this.
You die down in the trees and try and hide.
It's time, the Triple M Street Team, out the bed at Marine Parade.
Will you witness the dark?
Live cross of the year.
All you need is a spark.
And the winner is...
A cathedral of torches light the night.
Edward Cavalier.
That's all well and good.
Here I am.
But there must be more.
I'm your spark.
So here I am, Tone.
Ed, can I just say, this is all sounding very gay.
What are you talking about?
Deep in silence.
Well, that, for example.
And it runs to you like a shallow, noisy stream.
Shallow, noisy stream. Right, that's enough. Turn that music off, Maddie.
Hey, nothing gay about a shallow, noisy stream, Tony.
Sorry, Ed. Go to the ID, please. Somebody. Okay. Heady Dates of 2006. We'll be back in a moment with Jimmy Barnes. I'll get this at Triple M. Oh, yes, that'll be Fallout Boy. The break's over here at Get This. I'm just going to mention podcast 154. It's old news. It went up on Friday. Right. Brush with the Z-List is on there. That's mostly us. Glenn Robbins, Lawrence Mooney, What Have You Built? Jihad Jack, Taser Time. It's all free fun at iTunes or via the Triple M website. Fantastic. But please, Mr. Marsden, can we go climbing up Talkback Mountain?
Ooh,
sounds like a Dutch Warren's Evil.
Never thought I'd see it. Jimmy Barnes just lifted his headphones away from his ears. It was too loud for him. Give him a round.
Hello, sir.
Yeah, it was yodeling. Was there yodeling going on there? What was going on there?
Can you yodel, Jimmy Barnes?
Nah, man. No, not really. I don't think so.
Well, there goes that exclusive.
I could have a go for you if you want.
There you go. Bang.
Fantastic.
Drop that into the new album. Your new album is called Out in the Blue.
Which is sort of where you guys are going, I guess.
Yeah, I guess it is.
I hated to bring it up, but I'm here to protest.
Oh, are you just?
Yes, I'm here to protest.
You offered to sing at the rally.
I came here and I was waiting. I'm ready to go. You know, what's going on?
Now, your missus is a big fan of the show.
She's a big fan of the show. She'll be listening now and she's been writing letters. She's been protesting. And she actually she's objecting to the fact that I'm actually working for this network.
Oh,
right now.
Really? Oh, really?
So maybe I'll be dragged away with you. I don't know. We could start our own network.
Well, maybe.
Yes.
The Barnes Cavalier Marsland Martin Experience.
It's good.
Experience.
That's catchy. Very catchy title.
Yeah, we have to think about we'll shorten it.
Richard's got a really good idea for a drive show, don't you?
Yeah.
Richard, starring Jimmy Barnes.
Jimmy Barnes and Ross Noble. Barnes and Noble.
Fantastic.
Fantastic. And we'll do it in a car.
And just talk about books. That's all I
do. Oh, that's really boring.
Jimmy, you mentioned the missus. Is that a tattoo on the cover of your
that
book?
That is a tattoo.
Real tattoo.
No, can I explain the cover, by the way? I was saying outside, it's not a nipple shot. This cover.
I was going to ask.
You know, somebody said to me the other day, you're going for the gay market, you know. it's not true. What's happened is I'm actually lying on a marble slab and it's about the scar.
Oh,
and I have my wife's name tattooed over my heart. You see, she's my anchor.
Sure.
So, but the good thing, what we're thinking about doing, because a friend of ours actually mocked up his own cover with his girlfriend's name on there.
Right.
So now we're thinking about selling tattoos at the gig.
Oh.
And so, and have people sort of send in their own photos. So we reckon we'll get lots of, you know, tits shots.
Lovely idea.
Okay. Norm's out to Jimmy Barnes. Finally.
You can, get Frank or, so the girls can do it too.
It's a lovely idea.
It's a lovely
Christmas present.
A lovely Christmas present.
Richard's already got one. You've already got one of those. Weren't you going to get a tattoo last week?
Yeah, but the Starburst piercing Janet Jackson style is covering it up at the moment. No, I wasn't going
to. What happened to that bloke who called in this show and said he was going to get Rex Hunt tattooed on his ass?
He never called back.
Where was the mouth?
Well, it was dizzy stuff, apparently, whatever it was.
Listen, there was a guy who used to come to my shows who drives a tank for the army, who had my face tattooed on his back.
Did it look like you?
It was the cover of Freight Train Heart, and I think that is, for a start, who's looking at it?
Yeah, that's right.
And the other bloke's in the tank.
The other bloke's in the back of the tank.
It helps them
and
focus.
Why has he got his shirt off? That's too weird.
Fun in hotel. The army. Maybe that's a cue for local nutbags. We love local nutbags. It can be anybody, anyone, just somebody going through your wheelie bin and, putting everything into individual plastic bags, as somebody in my street was doing recently.
Yeah, fair
somebody
enough.
Doing a forensic analysis of people's rubbish.
Somebody actually, I walk my dogs every morning in Centennial Park in Sydney, and somebody actually, picked up their dog shit and put it in a blue bag.
Yes.
And then ran it up a flagpole.
Really?
And walked in, there it was.
A little ceremony.
So, I mean, it's good that they picked it up, but this is going to be fun.
Yeah, that's just thinking. You know, obviously they really love their dog.
It's something they worship it.
We've got to worship its waste. But, you've worked in the rock industry for a long time, Jimmy. It's rife with nutbags, am I right?
There's the odd fruitcake. Yeah.
Anyone who's accompanied you on tours?
There's been millions of roadies. I mean, for a long time, in the 70s, early 80s, every roadie was named after an animal.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's bear, pig, dog, you know. And they got their names quite, because they deserved them.
Yeah.
Right. I used to know about four or five pigs, actually.
Right. Who's your favourite pig?
There's one pig who used to work for Rose Tattoo.
Oh, yeah.
And he was a real pig. He was just, he was the sort of pig that you wouldn't sort of, he'd sit in the car and you'd have to sort of have the seats changed because it smelled that bad. And he thought the chicks all fancied him.
Right.
And I remember once, He got so drunk. I was driving in the truck with the Rose Tattoo boys. We were going to Checkers in the 70s.
Yeah, yeah.
And they went around a corner and the door flew open and he rolled out the car at high speed. And we didn't notice. And he turned up at the gig sort of, you know, 3 hours later, or just covered in gravel rash, and he still looked good. Yeah,
best night ever.
And when you and Rose Tattoo get together on tour, what is that like?
Well, nowadays it's pretty quiet, but in the old days, it was quite volatile. It was, yes. We'd have wild times. I mean, because they also had Bear. Bear and Pig together were just unbelievable. And that, but as far as like singer, like Fruitcakes I've worked with, there's been lots of them too, you know. I'm one of them.
Yeah, sure.
But I had a great experience one night. I was playing in Brisbane. Just in Brisbane. And this guy came up and said, Tom Jones is here. Can he come and sing with you?
Wow.
And I thought, Tom Jones?
Yeah, sure.
This would be a laugh. You know, my audience are going to kill him, you know. Yes. And of course, I'm thinking this, this pub audience, Tom Jones. And I said, we'll do Midnight Hour. So. Immediately, Tom Jones gets on. It doesn't matter who they are. They start throwing their underpants.
Is that right?
Even my audience. Your audience. Even blokes.
What, even Pig and Bear?
Pig and Bear weren't there that night. All right. That was their night off.
Fair enough.
So your audience had the underpants. They could have thrown them at you.
But they threw them at Tom. At Tom. But the thing was, it didn't help him get laid. Because one of the great things that happened was afterwards, in the dressing room, we were all there standing around, having a few drinks. And Tom's there. And Tom was actually pissed and hitting on every single female, and it was within 100 yards. And my roadies, who were all there, like these little guys, were loving it because people were, actually knocking Tom Jones back, and they're going, fantastic. If he gets knocked back, we're not that bad after all. So Tom's a bit of a sleazebag. That was good.
There we go.
Sleazebags. Well, except nutbags or sleazebags. What kind of stuff do people throw at your shows?
You get all sorts of stuff, I mean, I had, seriously, it's a bloke threw his underpants at one of my guitar players recently, which I thought showed a great sense of humour because the guitar player didn't appreciate it at all. Wow. A pair of white fronts. You get lots of underwear, lots of underwear. My audience have, a lot of my audience have been with me for a long time now.
So the
bras looks like something Cirque du Soleil would perform in.
Okay. Be doing our next show in that. Fantastic. Are there fans who have been with you the whole time who you recognise when you look down
there?
Yeah,
there's certainly, and there's fans that turn up who bring their kids or force their kids to come on. I remember when we did the Cold Chisel, the last wave of summer, tour. There was people who were bringing their kids, and when we did the first one, they were trying to find the same seat so they would go to the last stand with their child and sit the same seat. Which was really, really stupid because probably in those seats were the ones where I was jumping all over them and smashing bottles. And,
try and recreate those great moments. Do you do that, Ed? Do you, have a band where you would go, I'm going to go and recreate that experience?
Oh, look, I really was upset when TISM stopped playing because, as I've said before, I went to two separate TISM gigs where people were having sex on stage. Mm. And as a 17-year-old, I thought, this is probably where rock music's headed. I probably want to get involved in this as quick as I can.
There was a lot of bands doing that. It was a big thing. I mean, Dragon used to, Mark Hunter used to sort of drag girls out of the audience and mock rape them, which was very popular, in the 70s.
It was an earlier time.
I think Radio Birdman used to do the same thing, in fact.
I know that.
And actually, Radio Birdman, it looks scarier because I think they meant it.
Richard Marsland tried to bum rush the stage at Justin Timberlake.
Yeah. Really?
Didn't get very far.
Didn't you
get very far?
No, security. I've seen his security. They were monsters.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen so many big black guys in your life?
They're giant.
Enormous blokes.
Yeah.
Richard has three or four of them accompanying him wherever he goes,
just in case.
Just because of his rep on this show. Look, this is all very well. Bums, rushes, and nutbags.
Nutbags and Fruit Loops.
And Pig. And that bloke.
But, these are the sort of blokes that are salt of the earth that listen to your show.
Yes. Well, these are the people.
Pigs and Bears.
We
are the
want
ones.
To hear from them now. Are
Call
you a
us
nutbag?
Up.
Are you mad? Have you done something mad? Have you seen something mad? We will accept anything as long as we can play this sound.
Before it or after it.
And have a word to Jimmy Barnes, 133353. That'd be Live and Let Die, Guns N' Roses style here at Get This Around the Nation. Jimmy Barnes is here. And Jimmy, while you were sitting out in the atrium, you were sitting next to Ed Cavalier's mum.
I know.
Mm. Now, Ed's worried about her going on air. No. Now, you've got your own radio show, Planet Rock. Would you ever get your own mum on the radio with you?
You know what? Probably would, actually.
How would that go? What sort of stuff would she say?
Well, she'd probably start, you know, telling stories about me because, you know, and my mom says things like, you know, like, oh, you know, I always encouraged him when he started, you know.
Made
sandwiches for the band while they were rehearsing, you know.
While
they were rehearsing in the garage, you know. We didn't have a garage, you know.
What about, did she give you, not as good as the early stuff? Did she give you any of those kind of notes?
But I tell you, I think it was probably Circus Animals, and she said, come on now, you've got it out of your system.
Come on, you know, Jimmy.
Get a real job now.
Pins down.
No, but she'd say some, she's a very funny woman. She'd say some funny, okay. Scottish woman.
You see?
And she's pretty tough. I actually seen my mum, this is a true story, when I first met this is the first meeting the family met my stepfather.
Yeah.
We went to my stepfather's 21st, brother's 21st, and he was a bikie.
Oh, okay.
Right, and so we were all from Elizabeth, you know. My brother and all, he was a mod, and he sort of dressed in suits and all this. And these bikies were all going, look at these poffers, you know.
Yeah.
And my mum overheard one of these bikies do it, and she bottled him.
And he would be quite happy with that. Yeah, bottled Jimmy Burns.
Bottled him, and then sort of was going to do him in, you know.
I'll never get my head stitched up again.
And sort of from that point on, the bikies who had been, you know, bagging us all nights were getting us drinks and were very nice.
See,
a strong Glaswegian woman will scare anybody.
See, that's a positive story. But is this not your mum? What would happen
if mum's bottling bikies most weekends.
it's a common thing.
A very different context, you know.
Well, maybe.
They ask for it. Yeah, exactly.
Maybe we'll get her to say something, but let's meet Australia's leading nutbags. Who's on the line?
Hello, Ian.
Ed, Rich.
Hey.
How you going?
Say hello to Jimmy
Tony
Barnes.
Tony and Jimmy Barnes.
Yes. How are you?
What a legend. Australian icon, is he not?
Yes, yeah, he is. But have you got one for us, sir?
And it better not be about me.
We didn't want to
I don't care.
We were going to do Brush with Barnesy, and then it was, oh no, there could be trouble.
There could be trouble, yeah. It's too many.
Well, I was at ringside in 03, but still, it's not about that.
Good.
Standing in our local supermarket, whatever it may be, we had this guy come up to the cash register.
Yes. Oh, that's him now, is it?
give me your money.
What's going on there?
Everything all right?
Okay, cool.
Yep.
Cool.
What are you doing there, sir?
I am talking to my manager.
You can't do that on radio. Just tell him you're telling a story and get back to him.
Yeah. He comes up with a couple of gold coins in his hand.
Yes.
And he goes to the cashier. Can I play the machine yet?
At the cash register.
Yes.
Okay. And he thought it was a pokey.
He kept pulling her arm.
Did you pay up? And what happened in the end?
And sticking things in her mouth.
Thank God. Keep it clean.
Thank you, Ian. Lovely to talk to you.
Well, that's a nutbag. Someone trying to play the pokies at the cash register.
That's the sort of thing we like to hear about.
That's mild. Let's see if we can go better than that.
Yeah, there must be something.
Kelly, are you there?
Kel.
Keely.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
Good, thanks. Hi, Jimmy.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. I saw you at Crowded House the other week. You sat two rows in front of me.
Really? Were you dancing?
No, I was dancing. And speaking of mums, my mum said, I'm not getting up till Jimmy gets up. If Jimmy gets up, I'll dance.
I still got it. The mums love me. They either love me or hate me, one of the two.
She was very disappointed that you weren't. We got to go to the after party and she was disappointed that you weren't there.
There you go, yeah. At the basement.
Here's what we've got for you, Kelly, even before we've heard your story. A copy of Jimmy Barnes' new album, Out in the Blue.
Fantastic. Oh, excellent.
Everyone is getting a copy of this. And am I right in saying Neil Finn's knocked up a tune for you?
He did.
Very
actually,
nice.
Very nice. I mean,
wonderful.
I just said to him, I said, you write that many good ones. Just give me one.
Yeah. Come on, man.
give me a few of them.
That's all very well, but surely Jimmy isn't your nutbag.
No, he's not. My nutbag was actually, I went to see UMI on Friday night at the Metro.
Don't talk about Tim.
Tim Rogers.
I met Tim. I classify him as an acquaintance now. But anyway.
Hello. Steady.
Okay, this is our rumour start.
There was a guy behind me and he had a can of VB in his hand, and every time they'd finish a song, he'd shoot out his hand and it'd like hit me in the ear and he'd go, you know it, Tim.
You know it, Tim.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Tim Rogers would frown on that sort of unruly behaviour in the audience.
Well, you know, I don't know, but I had a few choice words to say to him afterwards.
Sure you did.
Hey.
Thank you very much. Nice to speak to you. Copy of Jimmy's new album for you, madam. Hello, Lewis. How are you?
G'day, boys. Mr. Barnes.
How are you?
I'm well. I'm very well.
Good.
And it's the nutbag.
Your name's not Pig, is it?
No.
Good. Okay. Continue.
Well, where I used to live, the Gobblegook from, you know, the Smith's Chip
Bag. Oh, yeah.
Used to live up the street, and he used to drive his beat-up old Leyland. And, what, like, we'd...
He'd wear the suit while he was off work.
Hang on, you're talking about the man who played the Gobblegook.
Yeah, that guy. He's about 4 foot nothing. And we'd be playing at the end of the street, and he'd jump out of his car and be like, "Chippies!" And, like, produce from the boot of his car, like, all these old packets of stale chips, like...
Hang on a sec, Lewis, and he wasn't in the suit.
No.
And how did you recognise him?
How did you know it was him?
It could have been just somebody who was short, vertically challenged. It could have been anybody.
Hey, who knows?
Could have been Darryl.
He gave you chips.
Did he tell you he was the real Gobblegook?
He did. And then his sister, he mentioned something about it.
Yeah. His sister showed up and she was shorter.
Yeah, and she was saying that he is the real Gobblegook from the ads.
Well, that's it.
They're the gobbling family, aren't they?
Give them the sound.
That is amazing, yeah. Lewis. Yeah. Copy of the new album, Out in the Blue, for you, my friend.
I'd give you a couple for that.
Do we have time for one more nutbag?
Which one do you want to take?
You choose, Rich.
I don't know about Blair.
Okay, Tim.
That's a bit maybe.
G'day, Tim. How are you?
Which Blair?
Good, mate. How are you?
Excellent. Talk us through your nutbag.
There's a guy in my area who he thinks that he's constantly playing football, never has a football in his hand.
Yeah, I know the
And he's also the trolley pusher for the local shopping centre place.
Mm-hmm.
And right, so packs that, drums with the trolleys.
Okay, up until the trolley pusher, I was thinking Ben Cousins, but okay.
Yeah, I was thinking that too, but he thinks he's playing football, but he's not anymore.
Tony with a sports gang.
Yeah, it's okay. Tony.
It was more of a drug joke, but okay, fair enough.
Thank you, Tim.
Has anyone approached this man?
No, everyone's too scared of him.
Has he tried passing the trolleys to you?
Sorry?
A sort of short pass with the trolleys.
A little hand pass.
Not as of yet.
I'm off to you.
Well, supermarket car parks, number one spot to see a nutbag if you're looking.
That's so true.
Copies of Barnsley's album for everyone. Thanks for taking part. And Jimmy, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.
Us.
Listen, I reckon if we block the door now, you can keep the show going.
That's
pirate radio. You know, let's just fight the bastards.
Hang on. Haven't you got a show, Jimmy?
I have, you know, and I'm fighting too.
And
I'm protesting. Everything that, you know, I'm going to start, you know, getting you guys to write material for me.
Okay.
Can do.
That show should be axed in about three weeks. All right.
I'm coming with you.
Well, thanks for your support. Our show is going, but Planet Rock continues.
You can hang with me. I'll sort of give you updates of where to find them.
All right. Move up on the couch for us, and we'll be back in the next hour with Dave Graney and Angus Sampson.
Get this.
Slightly toxic and flammable.
Brought to you by Nissan Navara. Huge pulling power.
Do what I want because I can. If I don't, because I wanna.
Nice crackle.
Be ignored by the stiff and the bored because I'm gonna.
Thanks to the Nissan Navara and its huge pulling power. That's the second hour. I get this on Triple M. I am an air traffic controller today. Who's in now? We've got Dave Graney and Angus Sampson.
Hello.
At the same time.
Hello. Just ran into Barnsley on the way in the green room.
What happens when you and Barnsley run into each other? Are there any feuds, showbiz feuds?
No, we're fellow South Australians.
Of course.
We share many things in common.
Right.
Rather a haughty sense of superiority to Victorians, but being a New Zealander, Tony, you wouldn't appreciate the class consciousness we carry about.
I still don't understand.
Luckily, Angus had his dog with us, nuzzled Barnsley's legs with saliva and dripping lips.
Well, it's just a service that...
that Winston likes
that Winston provides.
It's just a defence thing for you, Angus, isn't it?
It is. It takes attention away from my head.
Have you guys worked together before?
I can't believe you haven't seen the clip for Your Masters Must Be Pleased With You.
Yeah. Oh, of course. What am I saying? There's a short film, of course. Sure. Smile and Wave.
Directed by the amazing Tony Marnie.
Mm. All right. And, of course, Recovery back in those days. Yeah. You would have worked together.
Yeah. And the first time I actually saw... a story on Dave, being ordained the King of Pop, he took us shopping and he said that he liked jewellery with Australian, with marsupials, any form of marsupial. Do you still
does that ring true, Dave?
I've been dragging stuff out of my 93 wardrobe recently and it's all come back into vogue.
Is that right? What's the jewel in the crown there?
I used to have an Australian flag t-shirt with gaff tape over the Union Jack.
Oh, okay.
Years later, I would have been the king of, what's that beach in Sydney?
Cronulla?
Cronulla, that's, yeah. Yes. At the time, I wandered Cronulla Beach alone.
Yeah. Oh, really?
In the wilderness.
So you were writing 15 years
by
before
myself,
the actual write.
Yes.
You're amazing.
It was just you and Ed Cavalier giving
Come
away
on.
Frosty treats.
Where are you down the beach?
Nice cold cans of Coke and Big Ben pies.
Well, it sounds like we've got a lot to talk to, and in this hour, great moments in local rock. Oh, and on this show, they don't have to be that great. It's all coming up along with Richard Marsden's price check and a clip from the Bible.
Oh, hello.
In this hour of Get This on Triple M. That's Echo Beach. Martha and the Muffins here at Get This on Triple M. That's right, your primary source of rock music information. Get This. What do we know about Martha and the Muffins? Richard Marsland.
Martha and the Muffins featured two women named Martha.
Those kind of tasty morsels of fact. Have you got two fake rounds of applause of equal weight for Dave Graney and Angus Sampson?
Hello, boys.
Oh, what a sad occasion. Possibly the last time we'll see either of you here at the Get This desk.
Why? What's happened?
Oh, we don't have time to explain, Dave. There's been some trouble. It's nothing to do with you. I certainly hope it isn't.
Oh. Although when you get in, you tune in next week and it's Dave and I hosting. Okay.
Oh, we have heard some rumours about who's filling this slot, but we'll get to them later when we can't be sacked.
Hey, so Angus Sampson, you were just telling me off air that you've been to New Zealand.
I have
you not?
I've been filming over there for a few weeks. And I wanted to ask Tony where you're from.
Tikawiti in the King Country. Just down a bit from Te Awamutu, which is down a bit from Hamilton, which is down a bit from Auckland, which is down a bit from Hobbiton.
Is that an actual place?
Yeah, Hobbiton is Matamata. Well, I think Hobbiton, the scenes in Hobbiton were all shot in Matamata, and then Peter Jackson had the entire Hobbiton set hoisted up into the air and then lowered down onto his mansion in Masterton. That's how it was explained to me.
I was in Wellington.
Did you bang any broads at the back of the brown derby down at Hutton Top?
Is that your New Zealand experience, Dave?
I did.
I've never been there. No. I heard they go off, but
I missed out on that. But I did. I saw Dave Dobbin on Rock Quiz.
Hang on, What a sad opening innings. He's dropped Dave Dobbin, and he only saw him on Rock Quiz.
I didn't see him in real life. What about, I wanted to ask that because it's a great place. I was in Wellington.
Yeah.
Great place.
That's the Melbourne of New Zealand.
And do you know any interesting facts about Wellington?
I've got several relatives living there who have all changed their surnames and we can't contact them. That's not that interesting.
Okay.
I've got a brother who works in a film archive in Wellington, but he's changed his surname again. We have no idea how to contact him.
Are you related to everybody?
I think so. There's a population of 12.
and you're with
Wellington. Wellington's 12. Auckland up to 85 now.
That's quite a lot, Tony.
Just talking rubbish, Angus.
No. Well, the reason I said that is because, you know, when Australia seems to be obsessed with America and... you know, if more than four people, you know, meet Ian Thorpe at Fukuoka at the airport, you know, he must be a good swimmer if the Japanese like him. I managed to read I was there during the races in New Zealand, and the front page was New Zealand. There was two stories. The first one was New Zealand trainer wins Melbourne Cup.
Hey.
Yep.
And the second story, which was equal prominence, was... Auckland woman takes fashions of the field.
Oh,
and she was an unexpected entrant.
Okay,
she was that was the front page of the New Zealand.
It's very hard to get a bit of sizzle under Auckland's arse, I find. There was a movie a few years ago, Ihaka, Blunt Instrument, with Tim Weir and Morrison, obviously intended to be first of a long series of Ihaka telemovies, and it was about this Maori cop who got asked to move to Sydney because, mate, your methods are just too radical for Auckland.
Oh, man.
Auckland isn't ready for you, sir.
Well, I can do a New Zealand accent now.
Let's hear it.
Dave, do you know how to do one?
I enjoy Tony. Oh. You're talking to Tony, who knows the infinite variations of the...
Am I allowed to say shit on this radio station?
I think you are now.
You just did.
Yeah, it's too late.
If you say... It's live. So you say, shit, Tim, someone's hit the citron and dented it.
Let's hear that.
Shut, Tom, someone's hit the citron and dented it.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That's pretty good.
And then you're off for some Griffin's biscuits with a thin bit of mint filling. Maybe Phil Linnett from Thin Lizzy will be there and you can watch Kill Bill. It's fantastic fun. But
your book, Lolly Scramble, deals with your journey of discovery of yourself from the small New Zealand town to Australia, doesn't it, Tony?
It certainly does.
Do people go on pilgrimages following in your footsteps?
to see some of the amateur theatre productions I destroyed or jobs I was sacked from.
Sitting in the decaying armchair with the same landlady.
No, it hasn't attracted that kind of...
Having a creditable cup of tea.
I am going to be doing another book next year. It's called Quick Before William McGuinness Puts Another One Out.
What was the video that you got into a fight on the Trans New Zealand bus?
Oh, there was Spinal Tap. I was out for the people on the bus wanted six pack with Kenny Rogers, and I was holding out for Spinal Tap, and there was a lot of trouble. And eventually, they went with six pack, which is just full of swearing kiddies. So that I got blamed for that as well.
And you spent the rest hours with nobody talking to you.
That's right, on a bus. I'm very used to that. I was actually sat from the bus. They just wanted to play music on the bus and funneled the resources into the front of the bus.
Yeah, right.
Where was the bus going?
It was going to Melbourne. We don't have time for that. Oh. We've sadly got to play music. And is it going to be a Dave Graney song? Oh, Dave, did you at one stage perform under the name Eddie Vedder? No? Sadly not. Here, get this. It's Eddie Vedder from the soundtrack of the new Sean Penn feel-good romp. End of the Wild here at Get This on Triple M. It's our last week, as you may have heard, and two of our favourite co-hosts, Dave Graney and Angus Sampson, both with us on the bench. What are you watching at the moment, guys, on the vid, anything?
I'm watching Series 4 of The Wire.
Oh, isn't it good, Dave?
Very enjoying it very much.
Oh, do you find yourself just slipping into the lingo, the Omar lingo from The Wire?
It's very dense and there's much rewinding. And I'm trying to get the density of the, you know, slang they're using.
Dave, could you watch it with subtitles?
Yeah.
That's what I do.
You can.
That's what I do
too. When I not on The Wire, but when I...
Deadwood needs subtitles often.
You can. Wow. But
Comedy Company, it's really helped out by subtitles. I find rewatching that.
You feel a bit lame watching people talking English in subtitles. Sure. You just got to work a bit harder yourself, I think.
Yeah, I can't even bother to process words anymore. Just push that button for me.
I watched American Gangster last week.
And how is it?
Well...
Yes, come on.
I think Russell Crowe's just given up an American accent. He doesn't need to do them anymore. So seemingly given up.
So he's playing an Australian character for once?
No.
But he's just not trying.
He's just chosen to do it in an Australian accent,
that's
I think.
Good. That's great.
Yeah, good on him.
That means
I
could go and do that as well.
You'll be in the next American Gangster.
Think I could play a gangster?
Maybe.
Yeah.
If the gangsters eat a lot of food continuously while they're threatening people. They do, actually.
Yeah.
So you could do that. Great. Isn't it great, the scene in with the famous scene from Dirty Harry?
Yes.
With the Do You Feel Lucky?
Oh, yeah.
What makes that scene so great is he's eating a sandwich.
He's eating
a sandwich while he's shooting a bloke's tyres out.
Wow. Would your mum let you be gangster?
Granny, you got to stop about my mum. That's
okay.
I made myself a rap in the song. I walked in and Dave looked over at me and went, did your mum make that rap for you?
There's an elephant in the room. No offence, Mrs. Cavalli. She's outside the door. And
Dave is really enjoying this, aren't you?
Ed is worried about letting his mum on air for a word like we did with Mrs. Marsland.
Would you let your mum on, Tony?
No way.
There you go.
Whom are you worried about?
I'm sorry if that sounds rude.
Sorry?
What are you worried about? Losing your cred with the kids?
Maybe. Yeah. Look, I've got a lot of street cred, Glizz. I'm walking down, I'm high-fiving homies.
But the girls are into men that look after their ladies, you know?
I can look after mum off-air, though.
So once it's a bit of a tail magnet, you might have her in. So I think the winds are changing now.
I don't think it'll work. Just don't think...
You walk down those mean streets and you meet some crazy mothers and... Then you've got your actual mother
backing me up with a switchblade.
It's time to clean things up. How can we save this segment? I think the Bible is the answer. Do you remember when you, I think the very first time you came in on this show, Angus, I don't think Ed was here.
No, I was away.
He was meant to be in Germany. He was in Prague, which he later discovered isn't in Germany.
Yeah, it's
weird. No one could find him.
And I think this happened. Look, if you're looking for inspirational movies, I was watching the Animal Planet channel last night. An ad came on. I couldn't get the VHS to happen quick enough, but I got a bit of it. It's good to see the Bible is finally being telemarketed. Just have a listen to this.
Call 1-300-727-880 within the next 10 minutes to start your Bible collection with Jesus for only $24.95. Pay by credit card and you'll also receive a bonus DVD or double video, Moses absolutely free. That's almost $70 value for only $24.95.
Wow. Have you heard the Old Testament described that way? As $70 of value for $24.95.
I wonder if the Moses one is a fold-out. Yeah, you can part the DVD.
I like
this. This is a double disc.
I like the sound of Jesus, but until they offered to throw Moses in as well, I wasn't really sold. And what's the acting like? Let's have a listen to some of the acting.
Lord God of Israel bids you let his people go.
Also starring...
I'm your brother.
Paul Mercurio.
The man...
Dennis Hopper.
In the wrong place at the wrong time.
Liz Hurley.
I loved him too well.
Dennis Hopper, who in the Bible says that?
I'm having visions of like a Sopranos season disc box set just with the disciples there.
Who in the Bible's going, and the Lord spaketh, I'm a man in the wrong place at the wrong time.
At the wrong time.
What's that from? And this Dennis Hopper, I love how they got him to say man. Man,
I'm
telling you, man, the burning bush, man. It's burning me, man. What is going on there?
What is the deal with Bible on video?
So, that's what happened there. Look, Angus Sampson is here. Dave Graney is here. I reckon we've got enough people to attract some great moments in rock. What do you think?
Local rock.
That'll be next.
Get this.
All 100 kilos of it.
Brought to you by Nissan Navara. Huge pulling power.
You're listening to Get This around the nation on Triple M. Angus Sampson is with us. Dave Graney is with us. Ed Cavalier is
Hello, Australia.
What do you make of this, Dave? Oh, Ed's out of the He's back. Ed's been talking to his mum.
Is his mum here?
Yeah.
Isn't he nice?
His mother is here at work.
And he won't let her come on mic. What's the problem out there?
No, nothing. No, everyone's happy.
Has your mum got a great moment in rock, perhaps?
I think she once supported Wawanee.
Okay. Dave, I'm sure you're full of great moments in local rock is what we're looking for today. Can you recall a favourite?
Very local, my experience, Tony. Yes. Often half a dozen people there, sometimes less.
Really? What are we talking about?
The less people that are at a performance, the more legendary it becomes in my experience.
That's right. It's exclusive clientele.
It passes from mouth to mouth, word of mouth, till thousands were virtually there, but... What would you like to know?
Well, what's a standout moment where you've, not necessarily something you've been responsible before, but have you just been in the audience, seen something and gone, there it is, that's my great moment in rock for the year?
I was doing a performance at the Prince of Wales in 1991 and a local identity called Fred Negro got on stage dressed as a character called Football Mouth or something, like a great big gorilla after a Collingwood win. And he tried to upset my flow.
Right. How did he...
He didn't know who he was messing with, Tony.
How did that end up?
I stopped everybody. I pointed at him and I recited some poetry from the Pisan Cantos of Ezra Pound.
I knew you were going to do that. It's a great moment in rock.
Thou art a beaten dog beneath the hail of swollen magpie in the fitful sun. The magpie reference, Tony, I thought would
got him.
Kill him.
And how did Mr. Negro respond?
He scurried away into the darkness.
Of course he did. Yeah. Have you been...
Gotcha.
He writes a comic strip, you know, called Pub.
Yeah, I like that, yeah.
And I was once at a party and Fred Negro was at the party and I was saying...
Allegedly.
Well, he was possibly at the party. But I was doing that thing of saying, you've got to be careful because you'll end up in Fred's comic strip. You'll end up...
And with a hard-on.
That's right. with a few amendments.
Flying the flag.
That's
so
what
to
he does. Mm. He just gives you a bit of help. Mm. But the next week, his comic strip appeared in the street press, and there was that party, and there was a cartoon of me at the party going, be careful what you say, you'll end up in Fred Negro's comic strip.
Oh, it's terrible.
It's very meta. Mm. Mr. Samson, great moments in rock. I'll give you one that you were involved in. Did you not perform on stage at a benefit for, I think, the Triple R community radio station?
I did.
Dressed as Ugly Dave Gray, who, of course, you played in The King.
Oh, that was good.
And did you not perform with Tism one of their songs?
Well, Dave was playing that night with them. As I performed Defecate on My Face.
There you go. That's got to be a great moment.
Ed's mum's here.
Oh, sorry. It was...
So you're telling me we had Dave Gray and Dave Grainy on stage at the same time with Tism. Mm.
I did go and see a wonderful gig similar to what Dave was saying many years ago in Melbourne. It was one of the last gigs at the old Prince of Wales venue.
Yes.
And it featured Tism.
Yes.
And the Fireballs. Do you remember the Fireballs?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Stand-up drummer.
Yes.
And
rockabilly band, pre-Living End.
And they had a song that I never knew why it was called what it was called, but backwards it spelt out masturbate.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
It's mum's here.
Yes. Keep it backwards if you could, guys. You must say things like that, keep it backwards.
I did see Smog a couple of weeks ago. He was fantastic.
Were they here?
What?
Yeah.
Oh, you in New Zealand?
No, in Australia.
Oh, what is Smog?
What is there left for Ed's mother to...
Well, that's right. If we get no callers, Ed's mum will be doing the next break on her own.
Okay, guys, give us a ring.
What about you, Tone? You would have seen some great moments in rock.
Great moments in rock. Yeah. You know, you mentioned Dave Dobbin. I once saw... I went to the Hillcrest Tavern in Auckland. To see Dave Dobbin. I'm not ashamed to admit it. Uh-huh. It was over the back fence of my house. Mm. I went there. Dave Dobbin was delayed due to van trouble. So a man who was just in the front decided to get up and do the show himself. It was mostly, ya-da-da-da-da. It wore out its welcome after about 25 minutes.
One of the herbs?
One of the herbs.
That's the sort of can-do society that was absolutely up then, Tony.
That's right.
Now... It wouldn't happen, huh?
No, it wouldn't happen. Now the orcs are in control over there. Listeners, it's your chance to help us out. Great moments in rock. The bar is always very low at this program. Call us 1-triple-3-5-3. Nicely done. That's the Screaming Jets with a bit of Better here at Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. Dave Grainy is here. Angus Sampson is here. And Ed Cavalier's mum is out in the atrium.
Hello.
Observing proceedings, and it's made Ed so self-conscious he doesn't want to do the prize read. Mm.
But I can say this, Tone, that we had the Rockwiz people have given us a call, and they've given us a copy of Rockwiz Duets Volume 2, Rockwiz Duets Volume 2, the DVD, the Rockwiz Volume 2 book, Ultimate Trivia Challenge, and look at this, Rockwiz, 1001 songs, the greatest songs of all time.
Oh, they're merged up the wazoo at Rockwiz.
So we're giving them away to the callers today, so
it's a well-behaved today.
I know. Addiction. Politely spoken. There's no food. Where's the food?
There's a wrap over there.
Oh, there's one wrap. It's on a plate.
His mum made him a sandwich before.
Do you call her mum?
Really? Sorry?
Do you call your mum?
Mother.
Mama. It's very psycho.
Much like, yes, Norman Bates. Okay, we're talking great moments in rock. Who's got one, Ed?
Hi, Chris.
Hello, mate.
How you going?
All right, good. I smoked a joint with Keith Richards in 95.
Fantastic. Like well, good on you, basically.
Allegedly.
I wouldn't have thought
it's still against the law, isn't it?
He wouldn't be into that kind of thing, would he?
Yeah.
Did you have to twist his arm?
So did you die and he just blinked?
Pardon?
I had to twist his arm to get a puff of it, mate.
Oh. Yeah, right. Okay.
And did he immediately fall out of a tree?
No.
It is ironic that a life spent out of his tree and then he fell out of his tree that day and injured himself.
Well, there we go. That's a great moment in rock,
Chris.
Right there. There was no one else involved, just the two of them.
Prize for you. G'day, Luke.
There you go, mate.
Excellent. Your great moment in rock.
Yeah, I was at a pub watching 28 Days play about a year ago and a dwarf walked up on stage, so they started throwing him around.
Well, there you go.
Very gratuitous, I think.
Would you condone that sort of behaviour at one of your shows?
No,
dwarf early. And how did the dwarf take to it?
I didn't like it too much. He was pretty angry, especially when they threw him to the crowd.
Yeah, no, that's...
Very sophisticated. Yeah. Very... Very sophisticated.
All right, de rigueur.
They're from Frankston, aren't
Ed's mum's here. I just want to remind everybody.
Okay. Thank you, Luke.
No dwarf jokes next.
G'day, Mick. How are you?
G'day.
Great moment in rock.
Yeah, well, it was back in 78. There was Jimmy and the boys were playing at the Stage Door Tavern, in, which is near Central Railway Station in the city, and Jimmy got up on the water pipe and started swinging on the water pipe that ran across the top of the stage upside down. He pulled the whole water pipe down, pulled the whole place got flooded out. The electrics, there were sparks, there were electricity, people were getting sick and everything.
Getting sick and everything. Great news.
Hey, being a Wally with water on stage.
It's like the final scene of Carrie.
I love your listeners.
So do I.
That's good.
So do I.
Nicely done, Mick. That's the thing.
Good on you, Mick.
Our listeners, they're self-sourcing. You don't have to add anything else to make these.
You know who he reminded me of? I'm sorry, Tony. He reminded me of that guy that you and Mick vox-popped in the late show who couldn't stop laughing in Sydney about the Olympics.
Oh, Merrickville.
In Merrickville.
He was a great bloke, the man who wanted to jump in my car to That's be the right. new national anthem.
Why wouldn't you?
Thanks, Mick. G'day, Ray.
Hey, how you going?
Excellent. Great moment in rock.
I was up in the Gold Coast and I was DJing for a Melbourne band called Hank's Jalopy Demons.
Okay.
And they're a rockabilly band. Anyway, the lead singer, Hank, decided to put some lighter fluid on his guitar. That'd be a really cool thing to do, light up the guitar and smash it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, got a little bit on his trousers, splashed a little bit on the band, freaked out, and is chucking the guitar. It hit my DJ booth. That was going on fire. He was on fire, and I'm just going to grab the CDs and just try and, you know, get out of there as quickly as possible. It was hilarious.
Standing ovation.
Sounds like he was trying to kill you.
Well, that's a great moment in rock. I mean, there's a lot of...
Musicians often have bad opinions of DJs. He might have taken offence.
Okay.
It was revenge for all the gigs was it during stolen schoolies? From him.
was it during schoolies, Ray?
No, it wasn't. It was a rock and roll festival called Winter Sun.
What song were they playing?
Oh, I can't remember now. Long time ago.
Disco Inferno, possibly. That's a great selection of great moments. What's going to happen here? Everyone is going to get the Rock Quiz prize back.
Absolutely.
That's taken as read.
Oh, it's generous. Nice.
What do we want to do now? Are we going to have a song?
You'd like to.
All right, let's have a song and then let's come back. And what we're going to need is something from you, one of your famous patented price checks. You want to do that?
Absolutely.
Next, I'll get this. A fantastically new mix
Marty
of
Sheargold.
Misery by Good Charlotte here at Triple M.
Marty
Sheargold on Flashpots. Dave Graney is here, so is Angus Sampson. We've got to take a quick journey into the past. Here again, there's. What about space? We haven't talked space much.
No.
Brian Sigley, I don't know if that's any relative of Ernest Sigley, has sent us an article. Look at this. Astronomers yesterday announced they had found the first planet beyond our solar system that contains water.
Okay.
And therefore could support life.
Yeah.
Presumably. But apparently it's millions and millions of years before we'll have the opportunity to ruin it. So forget about that.
Something to look forward to.
So much to get through here. What have you got over there, Mr. Marsland?
Oh, so many items.
Yeah, a lot of items.
Lots of things here. Sorry, guys, just give me a sec.
Can we have the treasurer to check out 9, please? Looking for a price check. Price check, Mr. Costello?
Sorry, Mr. Treasurer, just looking for a price on the bread.
For bread, white loaf, sliced 650 grams, $3.20 Sydney.
And how about in Melbourne?
$3.23 in Melbourne.
Just while you're here, Tony wants to know how much these sayos are.
Let me tell him. Biscuits dry, 250 grams, $2.01 in Sydney.
Cool.
$2 in Melbourne.
In Melbourne, yeah. And I think we're doing prelude to a fart again today. Ed wants to know how much these are.
Baked beans and tomato sauce, 420 grams, $2.79 in Sydney, $1.76 in Brisbane.
Oh, and the carrots.
Alexander, can you get Kevin and get him to do a price check on these?
The price of carrots will be determined by Mr. Rudd. I think not.
We are out of the blocks. We are out of here is what we are. Dave Graney, thank you for your contributions over 2 years.
Sydney Ciders can look out for me next Thursday in Sydney, Tony. I'm at a place called Sonar at Luna Park.
Are you doing which
That's with my band, the Lurid Yellow Mist.
Oh, that's a band.
Rare blowout in Sydney.
Fantastic.
Thanks for inviting me on the show again, Tony. It's been... you guys make me sound good.
Oh, we love it when you come in. The Dave cast is still up on the internet if you'd like to have a listen to some of Dave's previous contributions. Angus Sampson, thank you once again for coming in.
Thanks for having me and supporting people like Dave and myself. And you can, I guess I should promote, I'm in Shandon Pictures this Saturday night.
Yes, right? Excellent show. Impossible to find.
Yeah, movie extra, if you're over, if the election's decided. I'm not sure what time it's on. Saturday night, movie extra.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks for being great contributors.
Thanks, Ed. Thanks,
thank
Richard.
You, Ed. Yeah, thanks, Nicky. Thanks, Rich. Thanks to my agent.
Yes, well, thanks. Yeah, I'd like to thank him as well. And our key phrase, I understand, is simply Jimmy Barnes yodeling.
No.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll be back tomorrow with, yes, Lockie Hugh.
Oh, dear.
Qantas have sorted his arrangements. He is definitely with us tomorrow, fresh from Hollywood, all thanks to the Nissan Navara huge pulling power. And Lockie Hugh with everyone.
Oh, it's allowing you now.